Good afternoon. My name is Susan Muirhead, and today I'll be reading part one of the News Gazette, dated for this state, Tuesday, May 27th, 2025. I hope you had a nice Memorial Day weekend. The first headline reads, Town Hall Tuesday, my turn. So typically, Town Hall is in the B section of the paper, but here's a highlight for the A section. Systematic change remains elusive. 5 years ago, last Saturday, the unrest that played out across America in the aftermath of George Floyd's killing made its way to Champaign. On a Sunday afternoon at Marketplace Mall, not 3 months into the COVID-19 pandemic, looters shattered glass and made off with clothing, electronics, and other items before a cavalry of Champaign police arrived. One of the calming influences that day, Champaign pastor Willie Comer. That's Willie, W-I-L-L-I-E, last name Comer, C-O-M-E-R, who stood between a wall of officers and sign-carrying protesters chanting, "No justice, no peace," and "I can't breathe," reflects on that day and what has changed since in this guest column for the News Gazette. Here we go. While enjoying a sunny Memorial Day afternoon in my backyard, grilling for my family, my phone rang unexpectedly. On the line was a city employee urgently requesting my presence at Marketplace Mall, where a rally was rapidly forming. Without hesitation, I agreed to go. Upon arrival, I was confronted with a tense and volatile scene. Hundreds of visibly angry demonstrators were gathered. Their voices raised in protest against a line of police officers outfitted in full riot gear, positioned defensively in front of Macy's. The demonstrators' outrage was intense. Many had just witnessed in real time on social media one of the most horrific and racially charged acts of violence against an African-American man in recent memory. As I surveyed the escalating standoff, I noted not only the deep frustration etched into the faces of the adults, but also the wary, uncertain expression of the officers. Amid this charged atmosphere, what struck me most was the presence of children, toddlers clinging to parents, teenagers standing defiantly beside them. I couldn't help but wonder, what would happen to these young lives if the situation erupted into violence? In that critical moment, I felt an unmistakable spiritual prompting. God called me to step forward, to physically and symbolically place myself between the impassioned crowd and the heavily armed officers. I was to serve as a vessel of peace, offering prayer for the grieving and guidance to those tasked with maintaining order. My role, divinely inspired, was to become a bridge between the two sides on the brink, standing in faith amid a profoundly precarious moment. With the nation this past weekend marking the five-year anniversary of one of the most widely witnessed and deeply unsettling instances of police violence, the 2020 killing of George Floyd, broadcast in real time via social media, available data suggests that systemic change remains elusive. According to Mapping Police Violence, by May of 2021, at least 229 Black individuals had been killed by police in the United States in the year following Floyd's death on May 25th, 2020. So that's the year after. This statistic underscores the enduring and disproportionate impact of police violence on Black communities, despite the global outcry and widespread demands for reform that followed. Over the past 5 years, 2020 to 2024, African Americans have continued to be disproportionately represented among victims of fatal police shootings. In 2020, Black individuals constituted 18.7% of those killed by police, while comprising only about 13% of the U.S. population. Alarmingly, this disparity deepened by 2022, with Black Americans accounting for 26% of all police-related fatalities. These figures reflect a persistent structural inequity, and highlight the ongoing urgency of addressing systemic racism and use of force practices within American law enforcement. according to data from CEO World Magazine. CEO World, one word, magazine. The number of black individuals fatally shot by police each year from 2020 to 2024 is as follows. 2020, 243 deaths. 2021, 233 deaths. 225 deaths. 2023, 224 deaths. 2024, 277 black people were killed by police in the United States, according to Statista. That's S-T-A-T-I-S-T-A. This number is based on the data collected through November 17th, 2024. So a rise in deaths. Over this five-year period, black individuals accounted for approximately 19% to 25% of all fatal police shootings annually. This is significantly higher than their representation in the U.S. population, which is about 13%. Has anything changed since 2020? Looking at the numbers and remembering last July's fatal shooting of Sonia Massey, the 36-year-old Springfield woman who was shot to death by the very person she called to protect her, highlights ongoing concerns about racial bias and the use of force in law enforcement practices. African Americans have been disproportionately impacted by fatal police shootings over the past 5 years, both in absolute numbers and relative to their share of the U.S. population. Lasting transformation in our society will only occur when hearts are genuinely reconciled to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. It is through this divine relationship that individuals begin to perceive others not through the lens of division or prejudice, but as God intended, as beings created in His image and fashioned after His likeness. Each act of violence, whether perpetrated by law enforcement or by civilians, stands as a profound affront to the sanctity of the life affirmed in Scripture. It is a direct contradiction to the divine declaration in Genesis, and God saw it and said, "It is good." Genesis 1, verse 24, from the New American Standard Bible. To harm a life is to dishonor the Creator's world, or word, and the inherent goodness He placed within humanity. The Reverend Willie Comer is pastor at Urbana's Berean, B-E-R-E-A-N, Covenant Church. There's one photo that accompanies this article that was taken by Anthony Zillis of the News Gazette. It is of the confrontation at Macy's that they were discussing in the article. Police and people gathering to riot or protest. The caption reads, "The Reverend Willie Comer Center tries to calm down a protester as he confronts police in riot gear on May 31st, 2020 at Macy's at Marketplace Mall, where people damaged and looted stores." The next headline reads, "A salute to those who served. D-Day survivor preparing to celebrate his centennial." This article is written by Dave Hinton and is based out of Champaign. You can reach Dave Hinton at D-H-I-N-T-O-N at newsgazette.com. That's his email address. Hodges, H-O-D-G-E-S. Hodges, wounded by explosion during landing, was reassigned to, quote-unquote, Laughs, Inc., as in laughter, L-A-U-G-H-S, Laughs, Inc. June is a special month for Dwayne Harvey, that's in quotes, that's his nickname, Harvey Hodges, H-O-D-G-E-S. The Champagne Man was among the thousands of Allied soldiers who waded ashore on the beaches of Normandy, France, in his case, Utah Beach, in June of 1944 to fight the Nazis. It's also the month of his birth. The veteran, a resident of the Windsor of Savoy, will mark his 100th birthday on June 27th. A large party is planned from 1 to 3 p.m. June 28th at the Windsor. He would love to see all of his friends in attendance to celebrate his birthday, daughter Brenda Rice said. Perhaps the reason he's around to celebrate is because of his musical ability. Originally scheduled to work in ammunition, Hodges landed just a few days later at Normandy. He still remembers the spectacle of the invasion, the mass of manpower, ships, and equipment. Hodges was wounded in an explosion as he was bringing supplies to the front and suffered a concussion. He doesn't remember what happened and has no recollection of anything for an extended period. They were trying to figure out what to do with me, Hodges said. They found out I had played the trombone in high school. Hodges was given a trombone to test his playing ability. He played a few big band songs of the era and was told, "You'll do," and assigned to help entertain the members of the 14th Replacement Depot and the 7th Special Service Platoon, commonly called Laughs, Inc. In addition to musicians, there were female impersonators, comedians, and magicians. The troupe got to perform with a few celebrities, most notably Dinah Shore, who later became a major TV star. Dinah Shore was while I was with the Replacement Depot number 14 in northern France, Hodges said. She had her own accompanist. We performed as the opening act. Hodges and fellow members of the entertainment group were in harm's way on occasion, including strafings by the Luftwaffe, and on occasion the stages where they were performing would rattle every few minutes from passing bombs. I'm a 19-year-old kid, and after a performance, guys would come up and shake our hand and say how much they appreciated the music. Hodges said it reminded them of home. Added his daughter, he brought a lot of happiness and relief to those soldiers. Most of us were just regular guys, Hodges said, and after the war, we went our own way. The troupe, which would perform wherever a suitable spot could be located, in fields, buildings, hospitals, mess halls, provided a valuable service. The troops were grateful. In hospitals, they would often play for men who had lost limbs. That was hard to do, Hodges said. He is the last surviving member of the group. Hodges still has the trombone and played for years with groups at get-togethers. After his discharge from the Army in January of 1946, he used the GI Bill to earn a bachelor's degree in music education from Illinois Wesleyan University and had a long career with school music service in Champaign. He later was in real estate. Hodges and his fiancée, Adela, married in May of 1956. She passed away in 2021. They have one daughter, Brenda. He quit playing trombone at age 90. When his wife told him he needed to curtail the activity because he was frequently getting sick while playing in nursing homes. The closest to actual combat I got as a trained field artillery officer from basic training was being strafed by a German pilot while hiding in a hedgerow in France, he said. And there's a few photographs that accompany this article. So the first one is of a man, I guess about 19 or early 20s, Caucasian, standing next to a Jeep, a military Jeep, in full uniform. And the caption says, Duane Harvey Hodges in a 1943 photo that's provided, black and white photo. There's another black and white photo that is also provided, and it's taken from the audience looking at a stage, and you could see him standing, playing the trombone, and the band, Laughs Inc. band, is behind him while soldiers are watching the show. The caption for that reads, Duane Harvey Hodges performs on trombone as part of the entertainment troupe Laughs Inc. during World War II. And there's another photo of him standing in front of the Arc de Triomphe. Hodges in front of the Arc de Triomphe in Paris. All those photos are provided. This article serves as a salute to those who served. The story contains original reporting by News Gazette staff. If you are not a subscriber, please consider becoming one, because local journalism is only possible with your support. A subscription to the News Gazette plays a vital role in making this reporting possible. Thank you for your support in helping us continue to connect our community. Next up, kind of an advertisement for Rotary Club of Champaign. But it's something you should know about. It's the 2025 Action Auction. Investing in children and community. Join us for an unforgettable evening of cocktails, dinner, auctions, and fun, all to support children in the CU community. This year's focus is on advancing children's literacy through a partnership with Books from BREK, B-R-E-K, benefiting local literacy charities. We're proud to honor Hope and Josh Whitman for their outstanding community service and impact beyond athletics. Our MC is Dave Revsine, lead broadcaster for the Big Ten Network. Doors will open at 5:15 for the cocktail reception. For more information, please visit champagnerotary.info/action auction. Again, this is set to take place Friday, May 30th, 2025. It's the Rotary Club of Champaign's 2025 Action Auction. It's taking place at the Hotel and Illinois Conference Center. Doors open at 5:15 p.m. You can buy your tickets online or donate to the cause online at champagnerotary.info/action auction. Next up, top of the morning, something to get you going today, courtesy of Vice President Jim Rosso. Jeannie Cook. So that's J-E-A-N-I-E, last name Cook, C-O-O-K-E. Jeannie Cook's first reaction to becoming a Hall of Famer was to shout out her partner in all things Danville Stadium, Rick Kurth, R-I-C-K, last name Kurth, K-U-R-T-H. He is the one that should get the honors and the attention, she said. He is the one that knew how much I loved and was involved in baseball and asked me to come in as a business partner. The stadium was ready for demolition and he saw the vision. Co-owners Cook and Kurth kick off another season of Danville Dan's baseball tonight at a spruced up stadium. We visited last week as work continued, Cook admitting she spends way too much time at her happy place. My favorite spot is sitting in the stands, looking out at the field in the early morning or in the evening just after the crowd has left the game. Cook and former Dan's player Mitch Moreland are part of the 2025 Prospect League Hall of Fame class. Last year's group included former MLBers Mike Schmidt, Kirby Puckett, and Ben Zobrist. Cook didn't play baseball or softball growing up, but rarely missed a game involving her dad in the Twilight League at Garfield Park's field. Her involvement in preserving Danville Stadium began in 1987. I don't remember a time when baseball was not part of my life, she said. And there's a photograph of a woman, Caucasian, dressed mostly in black. I'm not sure of her age, older, sitting on some wooden seats, and the caption reads, Jeannie Cook in the Dan's dugout. Yeah, she's kind of in an enclosure at Danville Stadium, and that photo is provided by Jim Rosso of the News Gazette. And as always, questions, comments, suggestions, you can always email Jim Rosso at jrossow@newsgazette.com. As a quick note, corrections. The News Gazette strives to present fair and accurate reporting and to correct any errors as promptly as possible. Corrections and classifications, or clarifications, excuse me, for all sections run on this page. To report an error, please call 217-351-5252. That's 217-351-5252, then press 6 to reach the newsroom. Next up, history. Area history. In 1925, a beautiful new country home located a mile south of Mayview, completed with the exception of the interior furnishing, was destroyed by a fire of mysterious origin. The loss was total as the owners had not insured the building. In 1975, a Champaign Unit 4 school board committee recommended that the inequality of Unit 4 intramural and athletic programs for boys and girls should be eradicated. But new programs for girls should be created only if there is an interest. Title IX federal rules for equal athletic opportunities are still being developed. In 2010, an expansion and remodeling of Sarah Bush Lincoln Health Center in Mattoon will be underway soon, if a state board approves the project in early June. And in international history, today's highlight. On May 27, 1937, the newly completed Golden Gate Bridge connecting San Francisco and Marin County, California, was opened to pedestrian traffic. Vehicles began crossing the next day. Also on this date, in 1896, 255 people were killed when a devastating F4 tornado struck St. Louis, Missouri, and East St. Louis, Illinois. In 1941, the British Royal Navy sank the German battleship Bismarck off France, killing over 2,000 German sailors. That was in 1941. In 1942, Dory Miller, a cook aboard the USS West Virginia, became the first African-American to receive the Navy Cross for displaying extraordinary courage and disregard for his own personal safety during Japan's attack on Pearl Harbor. That was 1942. The next headline reads, Economic Study. Research, U.S. children of divorce have worsened incomes outcomes. Study can't show what lives would have been like if parents stayed in unhappy marriages, critics note. This article is written by Mike Schneider and is written for the Associated Press. U.S. children whose parents divorce when they are age 5 or younger have reduced earnings as adults and increased chances by young adulthood of teen pregnancy, incarceration, and death, according to a study released this month. After a divorce, a household's income typically is halved as a family splits into two households, and it struggles to recover that lost income over the ensuing decade. Families after divorce also tend to move to neighborhoods with lower incomes that offer reduced economic opportunities. And children are farther away from their non-custodial parent, according to the working paper by economists at the University of California, Merced, the U.S. Census Bureau, and the University of Maryland. The three events, loss of financial resources, a decline in neighborhood quality, and missing parental involvement because of distance or an increased workload required to make up for lost income, accounted for 25% to 60% of the impact divorce has on children's outcomes, the study said. These changes in family life reveal that, rather than an isolated legal shock, divorce represents a bundle of treatments, including income loss, neighborhood changes, and family restructuring, each of which might affect children's outcomes, the economists wrote. A third of American children live through their parents divorcing before reaching adulthood, according to the study. Many children of divorce have reached the heights of professional success, including former President Barack Obama and Vice President J.D. Vance, who lamented that divorce was too easily accessible during a 2021 speech at a Christian high school in California. The U.S. divorce rate has been on decline for the past decade and a half, going from over 10% in 2008 to about 7% in 2022, according to the Census Bureau. The Economist study can't show the emotional impact of divorce, but some children of divorce said it resonated through adulthood, no matter what age they were when it happened. Brandon Helen, 54, said it took him until his mid-30s before he felt like he could commit to getting married and having children. He thinks his parents' divorce when he was in his early 20s played a role, since it felt at the time like an immense betrayal. I really think my parents' divorce made me put up these walls and treat relationships like they were rentals, temporary, said Helen. That's H-E-L-L-A-N, who lives in the St. Louis area and wasn't connected to the study. While the study shows the negative impacts of divorce, it can't show what families' lives would have been like if parents had stayed together, said Philip Cohen, a University of Maryland sociologist with no ties to the study. Probably nobody can tell better than the parents facing the conditions of the marriage and the opportunity for divorce, Cohen said. I believe parents are aware divorce may have harmful consequences for their children and make difficult judgments about what is in their own best interest as well as the interest of their children. Previous academic studies reached different conclusions about the impact of divorce on children. Some argued that unhappy marriages harm children by exposing them to conflict between their parents and that generally divorce is a better option for both parents and children. Other studies said divorce leads to reductions in financial resources, the time parents have to spend with their children, and the emotional stability of their offspring. Yet other studies concluded that divorce has a minimal impact, one way or another. A big shortfall in reaching any conclusions has been a lack of data. But the authors of the new study said they overcame that limitation by linking data from federal tax records, the Social Security Administration, and the Census Bureau for all children born in the U.S. between 1988 and 1993. The tax data traced marital histories and income of the parents, and the census data provided information about households and outcomes from childhood to adulthood. The study compared outcomes among siblings by the amount of time a childhood was spent with divorced parents. It found that children whose parents divorced when they were five or age five or younger had a 13% smaller income by age 27, but there was little or no impact if the child was older than 18 when their parents divorced. A parental divorce increased the chances of teen pregnancy if it took place before the child was age 15, but the effect disappeared by age 20, as did the impact of any divorce on the chances of incarceration. There also was no noticeable effect on a child of divorce getting married by age 25, according to the study. The impact from divorce was similar across demographic groups, the study found. And there's an Adobe stock image of a young child with his hands over his ears with, actors or stage parents behind him kind of standing and yelling at each other. The next headline reads, it's actually a quick look at our weather forecast over the next few days. Today, a nice 70 degrees, mostly cloudy, chances of morning 20% and afternoon 40% showers. Northeast winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Wednesday, the high will be 70, the low is 56, mostly cloudy with a 30% chance of showers early, then partly sunny. Thursday, the high will be 69, the low will be 53, partly cloudy. Friday, the high will be 78, the low will be 53, again, mostly sunny, and again, the temperatures climb into warmer temperatures. Saturday, the high will be 81, the low is 58. It will be mostly sunny. We've had beautiful weather, so I hope you can enjoy it over the next few days. And of quick note, 40 Under 40 2025. Nominations are now open for the Central Illinois Business Magazine's 18th annual 40 Under 40 Awards. The deadline is July 25th, 2025. The nomination form can be found online at www.newsgazette.com. The 40 Under 40 Awards are sponsored by the News Gazette and Busey Bank. So get your nominations in. I'm Susan Muirhead, and this has been part one of the News Gazette, dated for this date, Tuesday, May 27th, 2025. I'll be back to read with you again shortly, part two of News Gazette, so please stay with me. Thanks for listening and have a wonderful day.